Good morning. How are you all this morning? Good to see you all in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Just to introduce myself again, my name is Emmanuel Navarro. Everyone just calls me Manny for short. It's easier to say, like Manny Pacquiao, the famous boxer. Anyone know Manny Pacquiao here? Some people, yeah. He just lost against Horn, which I'm not going to talk about, but the fight was a bit fishy. But anyways, and this is my wife, Danielle, of course. She's right here, and we're newly wedded. We just got married in May, and we also just graduated in May as well. So newly wedded, newly graduated, and we are just right now working in Ajax, living in Ajax, preparing for our future ministry. So we're just staying there at the moment, and thank you again for letting us come here this morning and be able to have this opportunity, and I'm happy for Pastor McLean to get some time to do a little bit of fishing, and from what I see on Facebook, his wife has been beating him at that, catching more than he has been. But I am thankful for camp. Yes, of course. Pastor McLean and the camps touch a lot of kids' lives. I remember myself as a kid going there and under Pastor McLean and having a great time and learning a lot. And I just appreciate what he does there. And he does deserve a rest before the storm comes. So good for him. So this morning, could you please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read one verse, verse 31. I'm not a long-winded preacher by nature. My dad is like that. He can do an hour easy for him, just an hour. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I'm a more 25-minute, 30-minute guy, and maybe I'll get to his level eventually. But for now, you're safe. I'm not a long-winded guy. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Could we all please stand for the reading of God's word this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. And the Bible says here, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for today, your day where we can come and worship you, dear Lord, and gather together. And we thank you again for this church here in Hamilton. Continue to use this church as a lighthouse here for you to bring lost souls to get saved. And please help me now, dear Lord, as I deliver your word. Please guide me and guide my words and what I'm going to say. And continue to keep Pastor and his wife safe as they're away and help them to have a good time on vacation. And thank you again for all that you've done for us, dear Lord, especially for your son coming to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life someday. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, the book of 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. And when you think of the great men of the Bible, some of the heroes, you know, you think of Abraham, Noah, Peter, some people like that. But one of the first people that pops into your head is the Apostle Paul. And he was someone that was used mightily of God. He was someone that, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, was probably the greatest missionary that ever walked on the face of the earth. I mean, he was going all around the world, planting churches, preaching the gospel. He would just go into a city, he'd preach and witness, tell people about the Lord, and they would get saved, and then a church would be brought up. He would train leaders, and then a church would be established, and then they could self-take care of themselves, and he would go on to the next city and continue that process again and just continue to be planting churches all around the known world. And he was a great man of God. God used him mightily for him. But you know what? It wasn't easy for Paul. It wasn't a cakewalk for him. He had a lot of trials in his life, a lot of persecutions, a lot of hardships that make the hard things that we go through seem, you know, not that bad. For example, Paul had times where he was beaten for the cause of Christ. Yeah, lashed, whipped for witnessing, for preaching the gospel. I think it'd be safe to say that most of us here this morning haven't ever been beaten for preaching the gospel, for witnessing to someone, but that's what the Apostle Paul had to go through for the cause of Christ. You know, Paul had times where he was stoned. People would take these big rocks and just chuck them at him. And he survived that. And man, just imagining going through that, it's not fun. But the Apostle Paul went through that for the cause of Christ, and he kept going. He kept serving the Lord. Paul went through shipwreck. He went through the time where there was a storm on the boat, and they had to go to the island of Malta, and he had to go through that. The Apostle Paul had to go through a lot of things. People were constantly trying to kill Paul because they didn't like him for preaching the gospel, for witnessing, for going on for the cause of Christ. You know, tradition says that eventually he was beheaded in Rome for preaching the gospel. What made Paul so willing to go through all this? What made him keep going on for the cause of Christ in spite of the beatings and the stonings and all these persecutions? What made him keep going, and what made him so successful in his Christian life? You know, Paul wasn't a superhuman. He wasn't Superman or a super Christian or anything. He was a person like you and I. But the Apostle Paul was someone who gave of himself completely to the will of God. You know, once Paul got saved, it wasn't about Paul anymore. You know, Paul didn't live for himself. Paul didn't live to serve himself or for his own pleasure. Paul lived to serve God. Once he got saved, it was 100% about God and nothing about Paul. He said, "I die daily to self." He gave himself completely to the will of God. You know, each of us in our Christian lives, we have to be the exact same way as Paul. Strive to be the same way as Paul in our own Christian lives. Once we get saved, it's not about us anymore. It's not about serving ourselves. No, that doesn't matter anymore. Now, it's about bringing glory to the name of God and serving him and doing his will in your life. If we are born again Christians this morning, now we must be dying to self, dead to ourselves, so that we can live for God. We often have too many born-again Christians nowadays that are busy living for themselves instead of living to serve the Lord. And as a result, they're not being as fruitful for God as they can be. They're not bringing souls to get saved. They're not bringing glory to the name of God because they're too busy focused on self instead of having their true focus where it belongs. Now, what does the Bible mean about this concept of dying to self? What does that even mean? Well, could you turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. A common verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I suppose I can take any one of these waters, right? You didn't drink any of them? Okay. Choose this one here. This one looks pretty good. My mouth gets dry pretty easily, so thank you again for this water. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, of course, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, the Bible says in the verse previous to this that Paul in Christ was now dead to the law. In the same way how when someone dies, he becomes insensible to all surrounding objects and influences. The law had lost its power over Paul. It didn't influence him anymore. Paul was now dead to such things as the world, the love of money, the pride of life, and other such things. All of these things have been crucified with Christ. And when we are crucified by our faith in him, we are to surrender every selfish desire and ambition to the perfect will of God. You know, all sin comes from the desire to please self. And we are to surrender every selfish desire and ambition to God's will. And this needs to be crucified with Christ in order for us to start being fruitful to God. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Dying to self is the true essence of what the Christian life is all about. Dying to self takes place once someone has been born again, once someone gets saved. The old nature dies and the new nature comes to life now in Christ. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 17. The Bible says here, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Now, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus by night, he said that you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The old part of us dies, and then through the process of sanctification, which is where we become more and more like Christ, this is where the process of dying to self is continued. So dying to self is basically a lifelong process for all of us as believers. We need to constantly keep doing it in our lives. And Jesus constantly taught his disciples to take up their cross and follow him. And he made it clear that if any would follow him, they would have to deny themselves, maybe even give up their lives spiritually, symbolically, and even physically if it was necessary to do that. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, I'll read that for you there. It says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." This was a prerequisite for following Christ. He told them that trying to save our earthly lives would result in us losing our lives in the kingdom. But those who would give up their lives for his sake, for God's sake, would find eternal life. Jesus even, he went as far as to say that if they were not willing to take up the cross and follow him, then they couldn't be his disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." That's the words of the Lord there, and those are pretty strong words. If you're not willing to do that, you cannot be my disciple. The ordinance of baptism is an example of this process. It shows how the believer expresses the commitment to die to the old sinful way of life and be born to a new life in Christ. Being immersed in the water shows the death of the old nature of the old man, and then being raised up again shows the new life now in Christ, and it symbolizes Christ's resurrection. It identifies us with Christ and symbolically portrays the whole Christian life as dying to self and then living for him and in him that died for us. Romans chapter 6, let's turn there please, Romans 6, and we'll read verses 4 to 8. Romans 6 and verses 4 to 8. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him." If we think again about Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it is Paul saying that he has been crucified with Christ. And now Paul no longer lives, but now Christ lives in Paul. Paul's old life is dead, and the new Paul now has the Holy Spirit living in him. And it doesn't mean that when we die to self that we become inactive or insensitive, like as if we're dead. We don't feel dead. Dying to self means the things of the old life are put to death, meaning the old sinful ways or the lifestyles that we used to have. All that now is done with. We are now crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." And now that our old nature is dead, we are to serve Christ and strive to do what pleases him in our lives. First of all, two things about dying to self. First of all, it's not a choice. It's not optional for us. We don't have a choice about dying to self. If we could turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, more familiar verses this morning. Romans 12, 1 to 2, it's not a choice that we have. Romans 12, 1 to 2, the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Dying to self is not optional in the Bible. It's the reality of getting saved. No one can come to Christ unless he's willing to see his old life, his old lifestyles, crucified with Christ, and then begin to live anew in obedience to him. Jesus talks about his lukewarm followers who try to live half in the old life and half in the new life as those that he will spit out. In the book of Revelation, in the letter to the Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, the Bible says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You know, we like hot drinks. This morning, before we left, I got a nice medium double-double from Tim's, and I'm sure that you all enjoy going to Tim's and getting coffees or teas or making your own coffees at tea or teas at home. Before I go to work every day, I like having a medium double-double just to get myself ready for the day. It's able to carry me through. We like hot drinks. We like cold drinks. It's summertime. You know, McDonald's has dollar drinks, and we enjoy having a nice cold glass of water or lemonade, iced tea. We like cold drinks. You know, we don't like lukewarm drinks. And the people I know that do like lukewarm drinks are a little bit off. You know, we won't go there, but the Bible's saying here that those lukewarm drinks, when we drink those things, we're not going to want that. We're going to spew it out. We're going to spit it out. We don't like that. The Bible says, I would rather you be hot for me or cold for me, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. And a lot of churches in our day and age today are like this church of Laodicea. Believers that are lukewarm, they're unwilling to die to self. They're not willing to do anything for the cause of Christ. They just want to sit on the fence and not be doing anything and not live for the Lord. But death to self is not an option in the Christian life. It's a choice that will one day lead to eternal life. Again, I'll read Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the Bible says that here that we are to be a living sacrifice to God. And back in the Bible times, when they would sacrifice things to get forgiveness for their sins, and they would have to get a lamb or some other such animal, and it couldn't be just any lamb. You know, they couldn't just grab one of their scrawny things that had broken legs, or it couldn't be sick or have something wrong with it. No, it had to be one of their good lambs. It had to be a spotless lamb, a pure lamb. They had to give their best to the Lord and sacrifice that. In our day and age, we can't be giving God our leftovers, be giving God a half an effort. No, we need to be living our all towards God, giving God our all. We need to be all-in Christians, just like Paul was here. We have to be giving our best to the Lord. It's only reasonable to be a living sacrifice to God. I mean, what has God done for us? Pretty much everything. He created the whole universe. He's created this world where we can live, and he gives us blessings every day, food and clothes and all these other good things that we have to enjoy. And he only did something called salvation, the plan of salvation for us. So now we can have eternal life someday. We don't have to pay the price and go to hell for our sins. Now we can have forgiveness and be in heaven with the Lord forever and ever someday. God's done all this for us. It's only reasonable, the Bible says. It's your reasonable service now that you give your life back to him and you live you all for him. You live for his glory. You do his will in your life. It's your reasonable service. Dying to self is not a choice. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." This refers to all of us. If we're not willing to do that for the Lord, we're not worthy of him. We need to be willing to take up our cross, to die to self, and live for God. Second of all, it's a daily thing we must do. Dying to self is a daily thing that we must do. The Bible says in the text, I die daily. Daily thing. You know, the problem with all of us is that we're one of our own worst enemies. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you know what's there with you? Your flesh. As you go out throughout the day and you live your life, whether it be going to school, you go to work, whatever you do, the flesh is there with you still. When you go to bed at night, your flesh is still there all the day long. Your flesh is there with you, and your flesh is one of your own worst enemies, you know. The flesh is the thing that makes you want to go back to those old sinful things that you want to do and all those sinful desires. That's your flesh, and it's with you every day. Paul said, I need to die daily. The Apostle Paul, who was probably one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, said, the things that I know that I'm supposed to do, I don't do them. And the things I know that I'm supposed to not do, I do them. So the Apostle Paul went through this thing, and if the Apostle Paul went through that, I'm sure all of us go through that as well. We all have the flesh with us every day. We're one of our own worst enemies. We need to be dying to ourselves daily, constantly. Because our flesh is always there with us. We need to be dying to self and living for God. Die daily. This is something that we must be doing. It's not a choice to die to self, and it's a daily thing that we must do. Now, three things about ourselves that we must die to. What are some specific things in our life that we need to be dying to every day? And it's not a choice to die to these things. Well, first of all, you must die to sin. Die to sin in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Let's turn there, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Now, this is something that some Christians have a problem with, and of course, we're still sinners after salvation, so we're all still going to be sinning. We're not perfect, we're sinners, but we're saved sinners, so we're going to heaven someday. But some people are like, well, since I'm just a sinner anyway, it doesn't really matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live my life, because I could just sin as much as I want, and I could easily get forgiven for that, so I could just live how I want during the week, and maybe Sunday I'll go to church and get it all right with God, and that's all. Just I'll live my life that way. But you know, like Paul tells us that we are now dead to sin. John Wesley said this means being free from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. We're not supposed to be living as if we're still sinners and just saying, oh, I can get forgiveness whenever I want. No, that's not the way we're supposed to be living now. We are dead to sin because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We are freed from that power, from that bondage. We're supposed to be living like that in our Christian lives. And of course, if we're going to try to not sin on our own power, on our own strength, you know, we're going to fail, of course, because we're humans. You know, the fact is we're weak. We're not able to do this by ourselves. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's power in your life, you can live as if you are indeed living the truth in your life, that you are free from the power of sin, from the bondage of sin. Of course, and you know, you can't always stop the temptations from coming in your life. And the temptation coming is not the sin itself, but it's when you actually give in to the temptation that's when it becomes a sin. For an example, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, right? Nothing you can do about that. But you can stop the bird from coming down onto your head and making a nest in your head. In the same way, you can't stop the temptation from coming. You know, the temptations are going to come in your life. That's basically what's going to happen. But you can stop yourself. You're able to resist you giving in to the temptation and committing the sin itself. That's when the actual sin takes place. Just like when the bird comes down and makes a nest in your head, you can avoid that. So we are able to avoid sin with the power of Christ in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." He hath quickened us who were dead in sins. Christ has paid the price of sin for us, and that's what he did for us on the cross. We don't have to be living in sin anymore. We are now dead to sin. It has no power about it in us anymore. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Can we turn there, please? Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. The Bible says here, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then let's go ahead and read the next two verses here, verses 12 and 13. Paul gives us two commands here. The Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So the Bible says, do not let sin reign in you, and do not offer any part of yourself to sin. And so even though we're all going to struggle with sin still, we're still going to struggle with that because we're still sinners, and we're not always going to have the victory in our lives, we need to remember that sin is not inevitable. It means it's not guaranteed to happen in your lives. When temptations come, it's not like, oh, well, I'm just going to do it and then I can get forgiveness anyways. No, that's not how Christians are supposed to be living. With God's power in us, the Holy Spirit's power in us, we're able to be dead to sin and live as the truth that the Bible says, that we are now freed from that power of sin because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. We have to die to sin. Second of all, we have to die to our self-ambitions. Our self-ambitions. You know, everyone has self-ambition. Everyone has some desire of what they want to be someday when they're young. And when I was young, I wanted to be a zoologist, and I wanted to be a politician, and I'm glad that didn't work out, and I wanted to be other things. But, you know, everyone has some idea of what they want to be when they grow up. Engineer, astronaut, garbage collector, I don't know, whatever you want to be when you grow up. Everyone has some kind of self-ambition in their lives. And whether it be something in the ministry or whatever, we all have some idea of what we want to do someday. But you know what? It's important to die to our self-ambitions. And it's not wrong to desire to be something someday, but We have to realize that it's not about what you want, it's about what God wants for you in your life. And it's important because we can never be truly happy unless we're following in the will of God. You know, you can be making a lot of money doing something, but if you know that you're out of the will of God and you're not doing what God wants you to do, you can never be truly happy in your life. It's only in the will of God when you're happy. You know, I just graduated from college, as I said earlier, and through doing 4 years there, you see a lot of college students that come through and say that, oh yeah, I know God's called me to do this and to do that, and they seem all gung-ho, but they never finish because of something that comes up in their lives, whether it be a girl or money or different things. There are things that come up in their lives that take them away from following God's plan in their lives because they were drawn away by other things, drawn away by their own self-ambition of what they wanted to do. But it's important to realize it's not about what you want. It's about what God wants for you in your life. And there's nothing wrong with aspiring to be something someday, but if the dream you have leads you going against the direct will of God and you follow that dream instead of obeying God's will in your life, then that is sin. Even if you want to be in the ministry someday, you know, being in the ministry is a good thing. But if you want to be in the ministry and be a pastor and you know that's not the will of God for your life and you do that instead of do what God wants you to do, then that's still wrong. In our lives, it's important to do what God wants us to do in our lives. An example of this would be when I was young and I was wanting to wear a shirt one day and my dad told me, no, I don't want you to wear that shirt. So I went to my mom and I asked my mom if I could wear the shirt and my mom said, sure. And so I was wearing the shirt to go out and my dad's like, I thought I told you not to wear that shirt. And I'm like, but mom told me to. So I was able to get away with it momentarily. But then when my dad went away, I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. And my dad's going to be mad at me. And let me just do what he wants to please him. So I went inside and I changed my shirt. And we went out. And later that day, my dad came to me and he's like, you know what, son? I just want to say thank you for being respectful to me and for trying to please me and for changing your shirt. And I felt really good. I'm like, yes, I did the right thing. But it's important to realize it's not about what you want in your life. It's not, as an example, I was saying, it's not about what I wanted. I wanted to please my father. And it's not about what to please ourselves. We should be wanting to please our heavenly Father, God our Father, who's done so much for us. And that's who we should be striving to please with our lives. I always think of my dad as one of my greatest role models in my life. And of course, he was a just came out of Trinidad. He was there for close to 10 years, and now he's in Montreal, pastoring a church there. But I still remember that time when he was called to be a missionary, and he had a job, and he worked at TD. He'd been there a long time, and he worked at IBM for a little bit, and he had a house and everything established in Canada. And then he got called to be in the ministry, to be a missionary, to move his family from Canada, first world country, with all its nice benefits, to Trinidad, a third world country, right above Venezuela there, known for its crime and its murders, and you know, it's not as good as Canada is. And when my other family, my grandma and grandpa and uncles and aunts heard about it, they thought my dad was stupid. They said, you're an idiot. They don't understand such things, and they're not saved. And they're like, why would you move your family from Canada to this place to plant a church and to do this? Why would you do that? But you know what? Because of all my dad did, there is now a church in Trinidad in the town called Debe. Souls have been saved, and now there's a church there, and someone else is now pastoring that church. But that would not have happened if my dad had not surrendered to what he wanted to do, to his own will, and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender, now I'm going to do what you want to do with my life. And he ended up going on deputation and selling the house, and we moved there, and for 9 years, close to 10, we were there, and he was doing ministry there, and God was able to work through that and use that for his glory, for his will. And now he's in Montreal, but it's because of my dad dying to his self-ambition that was able to happen. If we die to our self-ambition, God is able to use us for his glory and to produce fruit for him, and souls will be able to be saved if we die to what we want. Even Jesus in the Bible died to himself when he was on earth to follow God's will. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane at this time, and he was praying to God, and it says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, Jesus knew what he was going to go through. And the Bible says he was sweating as if it were great drops of blood, and he knew the pain that he was about to go through. He was fully God and fully man. So he was going to go through all the pain and sorrow that an ordinary man would go through on that cross. But he went through that because he said, Lord, I don't want to go through this, but not my will, God, but thine be done. Jesus died to what he wanted to do, to live for God's will. And it's important that we realize if Jesus did it, we need to do it as well. Die to our sin and self-ambition, and it's not a choice, and we must do it daily. Paul said, I die daily, and we need to be doing the exact same things in our lives. And when we die to our self-ambition and live for the Lord, we can be truly happy in following God's will. And then thirdly today, one last thing that we need to die to in our lives is die to our self-righteousness. Our self-righteousness. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Let's turn there, please. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are none righteous. And this is something that Jesus condemned repeatedly, and he was always condemning the Pharisees for their self-righteousness and for thinking that they were so good when they were actually wicked inside, and they were willing to act all showy in front of people and wear these long flowing robes and tithe off all these small things and look good in front of people. But on the inside, they were like full of dead man's bones. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee was praying to the Lord and boasting about how good he was. And he's like, Lord, thank you that I do this and do that. I'm not like this Pharisee and that I'm so good. And then there was another man, a publican. And the publican, he couldn't even raise his head toward heaven. Instead, he looked towards the ground, and the Bible says he beat his chest, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, the publican knew how sinful he was, how wicked he was. And which of the two prayers do you think the Lord heard? The second one, because the Lord saw that he recognized how sinful and how wicked he truly was, and he wanted to get repentance for that. And the Pharisee just thought he was such a good guy when he was really like full of dead man's bones. The Lord wants to hear those prayers from us, and the Lord wants us all to realize that we as well are all wicked sinners. In spite of what some people might think, all of us are sinners that deserve to go to hell someday. We're all wicked. And the Lord wants us to realize that and to confess that to him and come broken before him, admitting that we are truly full of dead man's bones. We are sinful people. Paul said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We might not be as bad as the Pharisees in saying, oh, I'm so good and I do this and that, but how often in our own lives that we think that, you know, we're doing okay and that we're not like so-and-so that does this and that, and we're at least not as bad as them. God wants us to die to our self-righteous attitude and come broken before him, admitting that we are wicked sinners. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, the Bible says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And the Bible is saying here that we need God's righteousness, and it is by him that we are righteous and nothing else. And if we are to be used by God, then we must die to our own self-righteous attitude. Now, in closing this morning, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He died daily to self. He died to his sin, to his self-ambition, to his self-righteousness, and he realized that it wasn't a choice. It's something that he needed to be doing constantly throughout his Christian life. And look how the Lord used him. One of probably the greatest missionary who ever lived, who was able to go and plant churches around the world, and so many souls were got brought to Christ because of what he did. And the Lord will be able to use us as well. He'll be able to produce fruit through our lives and bring glory to his name if we just die to ourselves and to what we want and realize, you know, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants in our life. We need to die daily to self and live for God. And when we start doing that, God's going to be able to do something great through our lives. Let's pray.